Blog Talk Radio.
Greg DeMarco Show. The best wrestling program on the planet. On the planet.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Greg DeMarco, I need you. I can't live without you. I want you right now.
You have a...
Vaginas are off.
Damn!
Are you not going to bang it?
Heather, for you, of course I was going to bang it.
You better bang it.
Vaginas are off.
Greg DeMarco Show.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh?
There's a lot of things I like, and I like the Greg DeMarco Show.
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Really?
This is Leanne Marie, and I just wanted to say that I love Patrick O'Dowd.
We all love Greg DeMarco.
Really?
I like Greg DeMarco.
Sometimes, at night, we spoon.
Anybody got time for that?
No, Greg. No, Greg. I'm serious. I love you.
Don't do it like that, baby.
Patrick, is someone tuckered out? Oh, sneaky. You gotta go to bed, huh?
And I love you, Greg.
Damn!
We all love Greg DeMarco.
That I love Patrick O'Dowd.
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Oh, you guys are so adorable.
That's going to be a soundbite right there.
Uh-oh. You're welcome.
And I love you, Greg.
You're listening to the Perfect 10, Scarlett Bordeaux, and that's not going to come off really weird. Oh, my God. See, this is what happens when you're sighing too hard. That's what happens. That's why I just got to... Third time's a charm. This is the Perfect 10, Scarlett Bordeaux, and you're listening to the Greg DeMarco Show, the only show, the best show on the web.
Porn, Greg DeMarco. The Wrestling Realist, Patrick O'Dowd. 32 Fantastic, Heather Lynn. Sexy and Dangerous, Sue Young. This is the Greg DeMarco Show.
Patrick O'Dowd, we are live, and we took a wrong turn.
Yeah, we're no longer wide.
No, we're not. We're not wide around the world. We're not. We go back to being on the planet.
We are on the planet. The planet.
There you go. See there. The planet. By the way, the chat room is now open. I just have opened the snake pit for anyone who wants to join in to the snake pit. It's now open, so get on in there.
The pit is there.
People of the pit.
I see no pits.
You may need to refresh. Your snake pit's different than my snake pit. Steve Cook is already in the snake pit. Shows up early for work yet again.
Well, you know. Hello, what happened there, Greg DeMarco?
I lost you for a minute there, but you're back now.
Oh, good. It's a Tuesday, so, you know, new day, same problem.
That's right. Same. The good thing is we don't have to hide the fact that we're on Blog Talk Radio. Because we've always been on Blog Talk Radio, no matter where we've been. And we're still on Blog Talk Radio now.
The format is the same. That's correct.
Right. The format
which
is
good.
The same.
I don't at this point I struggle to adapt to change, so I don't know.
This is true.
I don't know if we switched carriers or something. It wouldn't be switching networks. Or well maybe it would, I don't know. I mean we do change a lot.
That's true. It's okay. We had a little bit of a scheduling issue with the VOC Nation. That is why necessitated the change. No, nothing bad. Don't have anything bad to say this time. I was very happy, but because of a scheduling change, we have now moved, and we are here back with the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. Excited to be here. Lots of fun. ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. And, yeah, we're no longer worldwide, but we're still worldwide. That's the funny thing about the Internet, Patrick O'Dowd.
We
still get to be on around the world. We're just not worldwide.
We're on the planet.
That's right. I don't know how. I don't know any other way to describe it. Put it that way. It's if you don't get it, I don't know what to tell you. But we're worldwide, around the world, on the planet, all that good stuff. So there you go. If anyone has any questions about that, they can email me separately. On the Twitter, by the way, Patrick, at Greg DeMarco Show and at Wrestling Realist. Drop the first I. Drop the first I.
Yeah.
WRESTLNG.
Still haven't changed that handle.
No, and you can't. Twitter needs to give you an extra
point,
letter.
Yeah.
That's what you need, Twitter.
I agree.
Yeah, Twitter needs to give you an extra. You deserve an extra letter. Hashtag give Patrick another letter. That's
just
what,
me, though.
Oh, yeah, just you. Just you right there. I'm tweeting that right now. We're going to make it.
That's going to trend. That's going to trend by two people, me and you.
That's right. There it is. Hashtag give Patrick another letter. I am live tweeting. There's a whole new definition of the word live tweeting. I'm talking as I tweet and saying what I'm tweeting live. So you can even email me. Look, you can email me at gregdemarcolives@gmail.com. I'm going all out today.
Look at you. You're dropping all the names.
You can go to Facebook and you can go to GregDeMarco411 and you can drop a message there too. How you like that?
Nice. I just retweeted your tweet.
See, there you go. Rob Schamberger, world-renowned wrestling artist, who will be around the area for WrestleMania weekend this weekend, is going to join us today, courtesy of our good friends at MJK Promotions. And then we'll do a little bit of a WrestleMania preview with our good friend Steve Cook. Chad Perry going to try to stop in. A little bit of a work issue there for Chad Perry. At CP Goat.
He's a busy guy.
At CP Goat and at Ocho Sports. You know, we're just going to promote everybody's everything. At Real Sue Young will be joining us later tonight to talk about her pending trip to New Orleans. And then at the midnight hour, Patrick O'Dowd, when the sun goes down, the show heats up. Playboy Bunny, Jesse Aaron joins us. I know, you like that?
That was clever if, you know, the sun hadn't gone down like 8 hours ago or something.
Hey,
like
you know, it just went down 30 minutes ago.
That's true. You West Coast people.
I know.
It's like I'm talking back in time.
That's right. Tell me, what happens in the future, Patrick O'Dowd? What happens in the future?
That's what I do!
Oh, that's what you do in the future.
Mark Henry does something, yes.
Here's the biggest thing. Patrick O'Dowd, now that we're back at PWP, or Powerhouse Radio, as we're calling it, we have this.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's there. I know. Aren't you excited? See?
Did
it's all the comfort
of home.
Is that
the reason you get to use it, or did you just show it
off? No, I was just showing it off.
Oh. Because that would have been...
Yes.
You have a vagina!
What I don't have is the vaginas are awesome sound. But I can probably make that happen before the Playboy Bunny is on the show. We can probably do that.
That's what we should
do.
For the centerfold.
Exactly, right? Well, I could be like some really stupid show and play like Angel in the Centerfold. She'd be like, what is this? I've never heard this song before in my life.
Well, like, yeah. Well,
I don't understand what you're doing.
Before she was born, I'm willing to bet.
Probably.
I'll play serious money on that because that's on the old now.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's like 30 years old, dude. Like,
yes.
Holy crap.
Yes.
I'd actually like to take this opportunity to wish
Greg DeMarco Show
best in all his future endeavors.
It's like I'm reconnecting with some of the sound bites.
Can I just tell you that sound bite, by the way, that sound bite really just resonates with me. not because you're firing me or anything like that, but I've been watching a lot of the WWE Network, and WCW in 1989, there was this tag team running about. You might remember them as the Dynamic Dudes.
Oh, yeah.
As mentioned by CM Punk, and when he was feuding with Johnny Laurinaitis. Dynamic Dudes, crazy how many, you know, tag team gimmicks that we would make fun of now were sort of totally over in South.
Well,
they were,
and
they were
talked
over.
About
them.
We've talked about them because that was the, you know, when they were feuding with the Midnight Express, and that was an early version of the fans turning a heel face. Because the Midnight Express were supposed to be heels, but sure enough, the moment Cornette turned on the Dynamic Dudes, the crowd went crazy. That was the same Clash of the Champions, by the way, with the legendary Ric Flair, Terry Funk, I Quit match.
Ah, yes.
Which
not
I Quit
match.
Yeah. Not yet. Not yet, anyway. By the way, hashtag give Patrick another letter. Trending nowhere. Just wanted
Shocker.
To provide that. I know. I just wanted to provide that update to everybody. Trending nowhere. So, Patrick O'Dowd, we have managed to talk about nothing for 10 minutes, and now we have to go get the guest.
Let's go get the guest.
We haven't done this in a few months, Patrick O'Dowd. When we go get the guest, you get to choose the song.
Play some music. You know,
of course.
In honor of the WWE Network and old school WCW music playing, let's get to the originators of the intro music. The Freebirds have to go first.
You think we should play the Bad Street? I mean, it doesn't make sense.
It's what got us here.
It doesn't matter what you think.
You know, I say that, Patrick Dow, but still.
Birthday over there, so I figured I got the call. Happy birthday. You know what else I heard is true? The Irishmen have a curse.
That's an urban legend.
Are you sure? Well, hopefully you can prove it to me that you're not.
Oh, hey.
Hello.
I'll have a
for you, Billy. So whenever you come here and you're not too scared, you can contact me. This is Leanne Marie, and I just wanted to say that I love Patrick O'Dowd.
Greg DeMarco Show.
We are back here live on the Greg DeMarco Show, ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com, at PWP Radio. Patrick O'Dowd. We're not worldwide anymore. What did we say we were? We were on the planet.
We're the best wrestling radio program.
Best wrestling radio program on the planet.
On the planet.
Damn! That's right. And Patrick, I'm so excited. I know. I'm so excited to be reunited with a lot of our sound bites, including this one.
It's time!
That sound bite, of course, means that we have a chief guest, and we're super honored to bring along the line with us. Very well known. You've probably seen a lot of his work on the internet, live and in person. Renowned wrestling artist, Rob Schamberger. Rob, thank you so much for joining us here on the Greg DeMarco Show.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, no problem. Anytime at all. So I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with your work. Maybe some of them aren't, and we'll let them know where they can find it here shortly. But, obvious first question that you probably get a lot is, how do you become sort of the wrestling artist? Like, how do you become that guy?
For me, it took 17 years of hard work. I worked as a professional artist for 14, 15 years before I transitioned into doing just wrestling art. And for the last 3 years, I've been able to do that full time.
Gotcha. So that's good that you're able to do it full time. Now, are you nowadays, like, is it just wrestling or are you still doing other things?
If something's of interest to me in between wrestling projects, I'll do that. But yeah, the primary focus is wrestling.
Okay. Very good. Excellent. So when you first, obviously you probably did it before people discovered it. When did you really sort of get discovered and people started taking notice of what you were doing?
Luckily, it was pretty close to the beginning. I had the idea that I wanted to paint every one of pro wrestling's world champions going back to George Hackenschmidt from all the major American promotions, which I'm calling the Champions Collection. It's going to be about 250 portraits when it's done. I did a Kickstarter to fund that, and that picked up really well. I raised $20,000 in a month for that to pay for studio space and supplies and everything.
Nice. Very good. So with the studios, it sounds like the support has been quite good for you, and the fact that you're able to do all that is outstanding. Is there ever been anyone, or let's put it this way, who has come to you and basically said, hey, I want you to paint this for me? Like, who's been the you're most proud of someone commissioning your work?
it's going to make me sound like I'm bragging here. It's kind of a who's who.
It's okay.
That's a good thing. Edge and Beth Phoenix, they decorated their gym with paintings of mine, and Kurt Hawkins just opened up his new wrestling school. Mm-hmm. He's got my stuff there. Harley Race's school did the same thing. And of course, now WWE, the company itself, having me do quite a bit for him.
Mm-hmm. So is that kind of... I don't know, when you get hired by the WWE, is that sort of the pinnacle for you? Was that even ever the goal?
The goal was just to be able to sustain myself doing this. And once I had that taken care of, then I started saying, like, okay, how do I make it better? How do I go further? And to really be there in the wrestling world, it's with WWE. When the stars aligned on that one, I definitely seized the opportunity.
Gotcha. Excellent. So how long, obviously, we're going to talk about what you're doing down there at WrestleMania. How long has this sort of been in the works for you with the WWE?
We started talking about halfway through last year. I had become friendly with Jim Ross and Jerry Briscoe through the National Wrestling Hall of Fame Museum in Waterloo, Iowa. And I had reached out to Jim to see if he could pass my information along to WWE for a charity show I was doing, just to it was a Make-A-Wish fundraiser, and I was going to see if, you know, they could help out, which they did. And through that early conversation, it, you know, got the ball rolling on other things that we could do. And we had our first official thing start around, like, Black Friday time, you know, Christmas time last year. First, there, if you get, like, a combo package of Jim Ross's sauces, it comes with a print of a painting I did of him. I think that was our very first thing. And then, and those are still available. I recommend the Man a Bit Mustard. then we started auctioning off originals through WWE Auction. Like, I even have my own page on WWE.com. Like, that's something I didn't anticipate. And, like, right now, we're getting into the last day of original paintings of each individual Wyatt family member. And those are all, like, matted, and which makes them frame-ready, and the mats are signed by each of the guys. So, you know, pretty cool one-of-a-kind item for people.
Wow, that is pretty impressive. I want to have to look into that. I'm floating around your website, and I got to tell you, going through this, yeah, you've got a gallery section, and looking through all of these pictures, I found Greg. I found your favorite, or one of your favorite guys. I found a very nice, looks like a watercolor of the Great Muda.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know, right? But looking back, and I know you've done a lot of pieces, and there's probably a ton that you don't remember. If you had to pick out one that you say either is one that you're most proud of or one that you were most excited to do, what would you say that would be?
Definitely, I think my best to date, at least that I've shown, is my Champions Collection portrait of Edge. I really feel like I was firing on all cylinders with that one. There's one that may be better that I'll be posting in a couple weeks. That's the Champions Collection portrait of Eddie Guerrero. You know, first, you know, like, he was special to me just as a fan. And I think that the piece, like, I took myself to another level with.
Nice. So
now with all these. Oh,
go for
sorry,
it.
I was okay. And so, you know, sort of the other flip of that, with doing all these works of different wrestlers, who would you say has had one of your favorite reactions to a piece that you've done?
Probably, again, that Edge piece. For a while, he used it as his Twitter profile picture, and when we met last year, he got a couple prints from me to give to his mom. And then, yeah, we kind of struck up a friendship after that, which is cool, you know. And, you know, I started watching wrestling in 98, so right around shortly after he debuted. So I essentially watched his whole career, and, you know, what a fantastic career that was. And, you know, through my art, being able to then, you know, strike up a friendship with the guy was unexpected and awesome.
So you as a fan, that, you know, something that I wanted to get to and you got there. So, I mean, removing sort of the painting from the equation, like, what did you enjoy as a fan coming up?
Well, I didn't even get into it until I was 18. Yeah, 98. And it just happened because my stepfather was flipping through the channels and landed on a Ric Flair promo on Monday night. And I was just hooked. And the next week I landed on Raw instead because I was just looking for wrestling. And, you know, knowing nothing about wrestling at the time, I just didn't know there were different shows that were airing at the same time on the same night. Like, what kind of craziness
right.
was that? And it's like having Law and Order shows go opposite each other. And Raw in 98 was one of the best shows on TV, period. And just watched ever since. And, you know, like, slowly, like, wanted to learn more about, like, okay, who are these older guys that they're referencing? What happened to the guys that I remember from when I was a kid? Oh, wait, how far does wrestling go back? And, you know, just that kind of, because I was a comic book guy. So, like, you know, going back and getting back issues and finding about the history of Superman going back to 1939 or whatever, that's the kind of thing I just enjoyed doing. And then here's this whole new genre that I could do that kind of exploration with, and still am, and, you know, ultimately led to what I'm doing now.
Yet another reason to love the WWE Network, basically.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, just free research, one click away. One click away. People don't understand how great it is. So, as people can look at your website, which, of course, robschamberger.com, they can see a lot of different paintings that you do. And, you know, you mix some different painting mediums in there. As an artist yourself, what do you most like to paint with?
It's really a variety. I enjoy pushing each medium in ways that I haven't before. I do a lot with watercolor and ink because of my background in illustration and comics. Working with ink is just kind of second nature to me right now. But also the stuff that I do with acrylic and spray paint and oil and whatever I get my hands on that feel right for the piece I'm working on at the time. I enjoy. Cough out answer.
No, it's okay. You're truly an artist is what that tells me. Someone who, you know, isn't as familiar with the art. You can go to your auction page. Of course, the WWE has out right now. When you go to the WWE auction page and you see your own face there, like, is that,
yeah.
Is this something you have, you know, your face is there. It's bigger than the face of Hulk Hogan on that page. Like, and you got your name in lights, so to speak. I mean, what is that? How does that make you feel as a fan, as a person, as an artist?
It's cool. You know, it's neat. Like, I was at a comic book convention displaying the art a couple weeks ago, and a lot of friends that I hadn't seen in a long time that are fellow artists, and having so many of them coming up to me and saying, like, dude, you are blowing up, like, right now. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. But it goes along with that. Like, I'm experiencing some kind of moment right now in my career, and I'm just trying to make the most of it.
Well, kudos to you for being ready. You know, so many people come upon a moment and aren't ready for it, and you obviously were, which I think is amazing, and I'm glad that you were. You are going to be a part of WrestleMania weekend, and I know a lot of our listeners and fans are going to be down there. And so where can they find you, find your work, find out what's going on for you as part of WrestleMania weekend?
Yeah, I am an official part of Access. What I'm going to be doing there is painting one giant painting that's like 7 foot by 5 foot, celebrating the great moments from 30 years of WrestleMania. I'll also have over 100 paintings on display that people are able to purchase right there. There's also going to be a couple posters of paintings I've done that they're going to have available in the Superstore there. And I'll be set up right outside the entrance to the Superstore and right inside the front doors to the convention center. And a neat thing about what I'm doing is it's not tied to any of the sessions. So people that are visiting don't need tickets to come in. As soon as they open the doors, you can come in and see what I'm working on.
So basically, from the first session of Access, you're going to start with a blank slate and by the end have this painting done. Is that what I'm gathering?
That's the plan. I'm going to do my best to make that happen.
That's pretty cool. I mean, to be able to do that live. How often do you paint, you know, in front of an audience versus in private?
Not too often. Again, at that convention I was at a couple weeks ago, did a live art session. Fun thing about that was they didn't really have specific times for the artists to go up there and work. So, you know, I was just getting a couple things together before I went to do an Ultimate Warrior painting. And if I had gotten up on stage about 10, 15 minutes earlier, I would have been on there at the same time as DMC from Run DMC performing MCs up there. So instead, I can say Run. I can say DMC open for me.
There you go. Even better.
Of course,
DMC was the opening
crowd with him when he left. But what are you going to do?
They were still there for you. They just had their backs turned. We don't tell anybody that. Don't have to tell anybody that at all. So for, you
I
know,
had them
say
back
people
by the time I was done.
There you go. That's what we like to hear. So say people are going to make it down to WrestleMania. Where can they find out more about you, your art, if they want to buy something? Where can they do that?
Sure. Of course, first, auction.wwe.com. And soon there's going to be some posters going up on WWE Shop. And then there is robschamberger.com. That's robschamberger.com. And then I'm all over the social medias. On Twitter, it's at Rob Schamberger. Facebook is Art of Rob Schamberger or facebook.com/Rob Schamberger. Got a weekly YouTube show that I do called Schamberger Labs, where I show you how I did a new painting each week, as well as showing the art that I did that week and whatever kind of cool thing is coming up, like, you know, the access stuff. So, you know, like the episode I put up next week will, you know, have all this access stuff on there. And Instagram, Tumblr, all that stuff. I've got it covered. I don't have MySpace
nice.
Anymore, but
that's okay. I don't even think MySpace applies to us anymore. I think it's now, like a music site. I think Justin Timberlake might still own it. I'm not even sure, but. Outstanding. Well, I wish you the best of luck. How do you get all that stuff down there? Like, do you fly it all down there? Do you have to load it all up?
Just rented a cargo van today. Going to be driving down first thing tomorrow morning. Driving from Kansas City to New Orleans.
Well, how long of a drive is that?
I think it's 12 and a half hours, maybe 13. Luckily, I got my wife coming along with me so we can take it in shifts.
And that's probably what people forget about is the wife in the situation. How is she with all of this?
Oh, it's cool. Like when we first started dating and I would tell her like, oh, I'm watching Monday Night Raw or SmackDown or whatever. And she's like, wrestling, whatever. but then there was, I think it was 2006 Royal Rumble. And they had like, it was the one Undertaker won. And she was watching it, you know, like not fully getting into it, but then like there was a backstage thing with Ric Flair and she's like, Ric Flair, you know, like I remember him. And then like Undertaker comes out, she's like, is that the same Undertaker? And she's like, oh my God, I love that guy. Cause her dad was a wrestling fan and she just kind of forgotten about it, you know? And then like seeing these guys that her dad would imitate or, he, like back in the day, there was a channel that you could tune to and you would get the audio of the pay-per-views, but otherwise it was just like snow. She'd always heard The Undertaker, but had never seen him, didn't know what he looked like. So like as soon as she saw that, she was just like a full-on fan. It was like me seeing that first Ric Flair promo. And
right.
I had to stop her from getting in a fight at WrestleMania 24 with someone that was making fun of Ric Flair. And she does a really great impersonation of Triple H's entrance. And another Royal Rumble party, we had a friend over that was his first time over. And they were amazed when she came out of the bedroom with her graduation robe and a pink boa doing the strut like Ric Flair. And at our wedding, when we were introduced as man and wife, we had Thus Big Zarathustra come on. We did the strut down the aisle.
That is outstanding.
She's fully on board.
Yeah, it sounds like it. That is good. That's kudos to you guys. I hope you do travel safely on your way down there. I hope people get a kick out of what they get to see you do live and in person. And I hope, you know, just continued success. I hope this what you're doing with the WWE continues to grow your career and that just take it to the heights you've never even imagined. Because, you know, after 17 years of hard work, you definitely deserve it.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
No problem, no problem at all. We'd love to have you back in the future, find that out. And I got to say, with all the research I've done, everything I looked at, I honestly think I've decided that my favorite one is the Junkyard Dog painting.
Nice. Oh, the one I just put up? Yeah, that one just came together right. It was fun.
Yeah, seeing that is pretty cool. I mean, they're all really good. The great thing about it is somebody that hasn't followed you on Twitter at Rob Schamberger is the background is literally just a ton of the paintings you've done. It's just a great way to kind of see a good way of everything that you've done. So kudos to you. Travel safely, and best of luck.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on the show.
No problem. Anytime. There you go. Rob Schamberger, Patrick O'Dowd, World Renowned Wrestling Painter. We've had a wrestling psychologist on the show before. We've had
That's
a wrestling
true.
Painter on the show now. Sometimes we have wrestlers on a wrestling show.
We do have wrestlers. We've had referees on the show before,
we have.
I do believe. We've hit most of the important aspects of the business, I think, at this point.
Yes,
I think, can I tell you what I think the holy grail of guests is going to be for us, though?
What is the holy grail of guests?
The holy grail of guests?
I'm afraid
to
ask.
You know who I think we should have on this show. Friend of the program, Mr. Dave Meltzer. If we got Dave on the show, that's the holy grail. That's the dream, Greg. The dream.
Could you imagine just sitting here being like, Patrick O'Dowd.
It's time!
You know what we'd have
we
to
are
do?
We are on the bell. It would be insane.
You know what we'd have to do after we asked him a question? The second he started to answer him, we'd have to take the little bullshit snippet that's from the bullshit segment of the week song and just play it right after he says
it. I don't
kinda
have
like it. Kind of the way you do the it doesn't matter what you think. You just bullshit. Bullshit.
Nope.
It'd be great.
Just play it really low in the background.
Yeah.
So tell us what's going to happen at WrestleMania. Well, you know, actually, Triple H has decided to put himself over and very faintly in the background, bullshit, bullshit. Great. I mean, then I would be like, oh, the man would never speak to us again. That obviously doesn't matter to me. So it's okay.
Yeah, I was like, what bridge are we really going to burn? I mean, his Twitterverse has already, you know, decried us for being liars and full of whatever because we called him out for being full of whatever. Like,
yeah,
holy grail.
We obviously care about what they think. So
we don't. Can I tell you one other thing about the interview we just did?
Sure.
First of all, people go check out this guy's art because if you haven't
it's
seen
pretty
it,
cool.
it's pretty good. I'm a fan of the Chris Sabin portrait. That one, I think, looks really
awesome. That one is
awesome.
Good. The Adam Cole one is really good. I was super impressed by that.
Yeah. What I found interesting, I didn't know the WWE had an auction section of their store. And so in tooling around with that, the Wyatt family paintings that are currently up there, it's interesting. The Bray Wyatt one, for anybody who wants to know whether or not this man is over, there's been 19 bids on this painting so far, and it's got about a day left on auction. It's already going for $550.
Yeah,
like that's pretty crazy awesome, and it's a good look. I mean, it's very nice. He uses like a very nice dark red and black background. It really adds to that sinister. And it's not just like Bray Wyatt like in a pose. Like he's doing that whole like bent over backwards look. Like it's great painting. But
yeah, it's very well done. I mean, they're all like I don't even know enough about art to really fully describe some of these paintings that are out here. But just the work is phenomenal. And he doesn't like just on the main page of his website, you'll see everyone from John Cena to Al Perez to mm-hmm. Vader to Xavier. I mean, we're not like
yep.
There's no discrimination whatsoever. Like, you know, Mark Henry one.
Ted DiBiase action.
I mean,
just the, you know, this is a man's life's work, and you know, we do, we can speak, like, here we have this, you know, something we love to do in the world of wrestling, and if someone ever came to us and said, like, you made it here, WWE is now going to have you do this, I mean, that's amazing. So the fact that this is happening to him more than he could ever imagine, you know, good for him. And still, you know, humble as can be, like, didn't even want to brag about the work that he's done, so
yeah.
Props to him, and good for him finding a woman that would get into the wrestling product as much.
Yeah, my wife is not, no, not even.
Yeah,
close
not that woman.
Not
neither. That's okay.
I'm not sure I get to watch Mania in my living room this year. I've got the network.
Like, I know. That's the whole reason to have it.
The dream, Greg.
Yep. I know. You're 100% right, and that's quite all right. As I look down the music, I don't think this network has the Steve Cook song.
Oh, no.
I'm a little sad for Steve Cook. Hopefully, Steve Cook will still do the preview. I hope he does.
Yeah, he better not go
on,
like, Madonna. He better not go on Diva on us.
I know. Like, is there something else that I can play?
Is he
going to
take his ball and go home?
I know he might take his ball and go home.
Is he going to pull you aside in the office now, like a couple minutes before the show, and then go home?
Well, we might have talked a little bit later now.
Oh.
I have talked a little bit later. Once we finish doing this assignment, might have to go aside and have a little conversation about my proper entrance team. But it's all right, though.
You're right.
It's time to get off.
She's just so, so pretty.
I just made you a custom song,
you know,
right there.
I like that.
There you go.
I actually like that. That's
see?
Pretty good. I mean, you got some Swords, you got some Scarlett, you got some Daniel Bryan. That's a good combo.
See?
It's a good
exactly.
Combo. I can live
there
with
you
it.
Go.
You're welcome!
Yes, Damian Sandow. He's still alive, I think. Possibly.
I think he's in the Battle Royal.
Who's not in the Battle Royal? Like, seriously.
Well, there's a couple spots still open.
Cook is in the Battle Royal. I heard that Steve Cook is appearing in the Battle Royal.
I'm in talks.
Possibly.
I'm in talks. Nothing.
Talks?
I can confirm nothing yet. I can't confirm anything.
Which we know is, like, we can now put on a website that reportedly Steve Cook is participating
right.
in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Yes,
rumor,
yes.
Rumor
if your boy
it.
Is listening, he can put that on there. That he, I will reportedly be in Battle Royal.
I'm serious. He is no longer. I'm no longer calling that person by name. It is now the Grail. The Grail. Until we get
the
on the
Holy
show,
Grail.
It's the Grail. The Holy Grail of our
interviews.
That
happens, so it's okay.
Actually, I'll tell you what. If I get in the Battle Royal, I will end up winning because I'll pull the old Iron Sheik strategy. I will not be able to take the bump over top rope. So I can't take the bump. I'm going to have to win the match. That's the rule there.
You know what?
Yeah.
It's fun. I think here's what I think the Meltzer followers want to do to us, Patrick Dowd. I think the Meltzer, like when we start, as soon as we bring up Dave Meltzer, here's what the Meltzer followers want to do to us.
Sierra Hotel,
India,
Echo Lima,
Delta,
Shield.
We have access to all kinds of songs now. Here
it's
on the
it's unfortunate that they think they're, you know, that. But
they're not.
I don't want them to break up. This is the bane of my existence, actually. I complain about this every week I write about on 401mania.com. I don't want the Shield to break up. We can have Roman Reigns be pushed as a singles guy and not break him up from Dean Ambrose.
And that may happen.
There's only been one faction that's done that, though. Really, there's been one.
What, the Four Horsemen?
That's about it.
So the Shield's different. What else is new?
No, I would be all in favor for the Shield to follow the bottle of the Horseman and have one guy, you know, be the big dog and everybody else be okay with it. Like,
yeah, I mean, you know, even the vaunted Evolution, which Triple H would probably have us believe
oh, yeah.
is the greatest faction of all time.
Nope.
Would
they did have
you know.
All the gold on Raw.
They did.
Yeah.
they did. Who cares?
That's true.
They did. So, we are here to talk, of course, about WrestleMania. WrestleMania is this Sunday night, live, and it is exciting. From New Orleans, Louisiana, those is Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Last count, I believe they're going to have over 80,000 seats in the Superdome. So quite the crowd. Hopefully it fills
fill
up.
They'll fill it up.
Unlike WrestleMania 26, Patrick O'Dowd, where there were visible emptiness in the upper.
Good seats available still. Yeah. I think you can still pick
right up,
a
until
ticket.
Bell time. Right.
You mean the Arizona show? But you still all had 70,000 people. Or what they said.
Over 70,000 people were there. Yes,
yeah.
It was still well over 70,000 people. I will say this about the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Because it's an older dome, so no sunlight gets into it. It will actually be dark when the show begins. Because I just am not a fan of the show that begins in daylight. And just, I want to see the whole spectacle of the stage and everything. So I'm happy for the environment. Plus, with it being closed in, you'll really be able to hear all those people chanting yes. And all those people chanting CM Punk all throughout the entire show, which we know is going to happen.
I like the transition there from day to night, WrestleMania 3, Pontiac Silverdome, where it starts off where they're in daylight.
And
then later on, once you get towards Steamboat versus Savage and Hulk versus Andre, the big matches, it gets dark. See, I kind of like that. That's personal preference on my part.
That's great until you do a show in Phoenix with a retractable roof, and then that's the other thing. The great thing about the Superdome, there's no gadgetry for them to have to play with, because this was truly distracting in Phoenix, Arizona, as we would watch the roof open and close and open
seven times during the show.
Yes, it kept happening over and over and over again. And because it was a West Coast show, it didn't really get dark.
It started at 4 o'clock.
Because you're starting at 4 o'clock
here on the West Coast, and it wasn't dark
around,
until
8?
The fourth hour. It wasn't dark until the fourth hour of the show, and it was finally dark. And then you could actually see the whole stage, although it looked cool, but it took that long to see all of it. So that's what I didn't like about it, personally. But the Superdome,
the after party's pretty good, though.
Yeah, we had fun.
Around 8 o'clock is when the show ends or so, around 9 you're going to the after party. That'd be
good.
We
were still in the parking lot. We couldn't get out of the parking lot.
Okay, around 10 then. Yeah, I forget about the parking lot.
Parking was horrendous with that many people. So
I imagine so.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a blast.
It was still worth it for all the griping we're making. Yes.
I'm sure it was. WrestleMania is the one. That's the one main show I haven't been to as far as professional wrestling in the United States goes, is a WrestleMania. I went to Royal Rumble a couple years ago, and it was fantastic. Yep. It was tremendous. But I've still not been to the tremendous stadium, dome, /whatever WrestleMania show. And hopefully I'll make it there one of these days.
Yeah.
Not this
San Francisco. San Francisco next year.
That's what people are telling me. That's what I've had multiple people tell me.
I'm going to try to make it to San Francisco. We'll see what happens, though. But we have a show to talk about this year. 8 matches, of course, have been announced, and of the 8 matches, we can kind of talk about what's going to happen, what we think, and only 7 matches right now on the main card for WrestleMania, but some of them can take quite a long time.
Then again, there are some matches on this card that should get a lot of time.
Yes.
That deserve a lot of time.
Indeed, and we'll talk about that, but we want to kick things off, of course, with the pre-show. The WWE Tag Team Championship, Fatal 4-Way, The Usos, The Real Americans, Los Matadores, and Rybacksel doing battle. The Usos defending the championships. Steve Cook, we'll start with you. Your thoughts, and of course, the winner.
I can't believe this is on the pre-show. To be honest with you, I mean, this guy moves to the pre-show this week, and maybe it's not a big surprise on the in the long run and the overall picture of things in WWE, but the tag team division has been one of the highlights of WWE for the past year or so. And these guys, the Usos, Real Americans, obviously, Cesaro, one of the top performers for the past year or so. But then you have Los Matadores, which is kind of strange. You got Rybacksel. I mean, Ryback, Curtis Axel, why are they there? I don't know. They have to be both, I suppose.
Remember at one point, this was just
Battle Royal.
Yeah, they were announced for the Battle Royal. But remember, at one point, this was just the Usos versus Rybacksel.
Yeah.
It should have been the Usos versus the Real Americans is what it should have been.
Yeah.
That would be a WrestleMania match. But no, we get this thing on the pre-show with Rybacksel. And, Los Matadores, they're fine wrestlers, don't get me wrong. But what the hell have they done? What have they done?
They have a little person who's dressed up like a bull. Like, that's what they've done.
What's funny is they're multiple time tag team champions, but we can't speak of that because they're now Los Matadores. Yep.
We don't want to remember it because they're Epico and Primo, and nobody cared.
Right.
Well, nobody really cares. Right. I mean, nobody really cares about them right now, like you said, Cook. This whole four-way tag match thing, it's bothersome to me because it's just sort of indicative of what I've talked about before with tag team wrestling in the WWE, is that people keep wanting it to matter, and the WWE keeps doing things that show me that it's there, it exists, it's not that important to the company. Because you look at the Real Americans, for example, who were a month ago, we went from hot tag team to Antonio Cesaro got hot to then we had to try to tease about breaking them up, and now we're putting them back together to enter this tag match. And so we don't really know what's going on with them. The Usos just won the belts from the sort of eyebrow-raising team. And then you've got Ryback, who, you know, is a pair of guys that nobody really cared about as individuals, and you put them together in a tag team that nobody really cares about. And then I think you said about all that needs to be said about the Matadors. Like, they're fun. They're very entertaining. Does anybody see them winning this match? Does anybody think that they need to be in this match? Why are they there? It's a payday.
No. Well, I'll say this about why are they there. Because the Matadors, when they debuted, Los Matadores, and we were talking about them and making fun of them as the weeks went on, I said back, you know, months ago, these guys would be on the WrestleMania card solely because of the bull. Like, this is what WrestleMania is. It's a showcase, and because of the stupid little bull, who's actually entertaining, they were going to make it to the WrestleMania card. So I can't go back and play the sound because it wasn't that emphatic of a sound bite. But I said that they were going to be on the show, and they are on the show. I don't think they're going to win. But speaking of who's going to win, Steve Cook, your prediction for the pre-show match.
If it's a pre-show match, if it's opening up the show, there's no reason the Usos shouldn't win. There's no reason for the Usos to drop the title to any of these teams, really. I mean, I like the Real Americans much as anybody does. Jack Swagger, Antonio Cesaro, Zeb Coulter. I don't know why they're not on the regular show. It boggles my mind. But the way I figure it, the Usos, they're hot as well. And I think if you're going to put them on the pre-show, you got to put them over. Get the crowd going, get them happy, ready to go for WrestleMania. So, Usos all the way.
Patrick O'Dowd.
Yeah, I have very little doubt that the Usos are gonna retain in this match, because it is a way to get the crowd off to a hot sort of fun start. And the other thing is, like Cook hinted at, none of these contenders really make sense as becoming your new tag team champions. The one that would have been the most viable challenger is the Real Americans. We just got through a brief patch where they couldn't get in sync with each other and hated each other.
They should have been the champions like 5 or 6 months ago.
Yeah,
they
they should have been, but they're not. Yeah. And it looks like they're – and I'm willing to bet that after this, you know, four-way tag match, after Mania is all said and done, we're going to get back – funneled back into the storyline that they started to tell before they decided, oh, hey, we should put them in this tag team championship match.
Yeah.
I'm not picking the Usos, but I'll get there in a second. One prediction I want to make for this match is this is what's going to happen, right? We're going to be on the pre-show. This is why I think it's on the pre-show, because you can chant for the Usos. You can chant We the People. You can chant Ole. And you can even chant Feed Me More if people remember how to do that, which
they won't
at this point. And, of course, you're going to chant, CM Punk. They're obviously going to chant that as well during this match. I think the Real Americans are going to win. And I think they're going to win the tag team championships. And it's going to be a repeat of what we saw last year, where, you know, the Miz wins the Intercontinental Championship on the pre-show, loses it the next night on Raw, and then the Real Americans are going to lose it back to the Usos on Raw because the Usos won't factor into the pin, and then the Real Americans break up the next night on Raw. So I'm going Real Americans.
That makes sense. That makes sense by WWE logic, but I hate it. I don't like it, but it makes sense by WWE logic. So
I'm not saying it's a good idea.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's my prediction.
I understand. So. Yeah, I know it's not. It doesn't sound good, but it does make sense with what they like to do.
Unfortunately. So that's what I'm going with. That's which I thought of it. Sticking to it. And remember, in their brains, WWE brains, this is the pre-show is the card. Like, it's not separate from the card. So it's something that we have to try to remember.
That's true.
So next up, we do have the Andre the Giant Memorial Over the Top Rope Battle Royal. We have 27 announced participants, which means there are three spots still open, still available. This isn't a Royal Rumble, though, where you can have somebody come in and be the surprise entrance that way. So you're pretty much limited in your surprise entrance to probably one. Patrick, go down. Any thoughts on any surprise entrance? And, of course, who wins this thing?
Rob Van Dam. There's my prediction. Just because I think I read it in a website, probably from Meltzer. oh wait, sorry, from the Grail. The Grail told me. The Holy Grail told me that Rob Van Dam was maybe coming back. As far as who wins, they're sure trying to get us to think it's going to be the Big Show. Which would fit in with the whole theme that they're going through of a giant winning the Andre the Giant show. The problem I have is, I don't really see anybody else that I mean, it's kind of an anybody's game. Like, I think that there's about four or five other names that could possibly win it. This is usually these WrestleMania Battle Royals sometimes have a nice track record of heels winning. I'm looking at you, Bad News. but I'll go with the Big Show because it fits with the Andre the Giant theme. And, of course, since the WWE is overselling it, he probably won't win it. But I'm going with the Show.
Steve Cook.
Yes, according to the WrestleMania picture they have here, there are three people who have yet been named. I can't think of any, three people that haven't been named yet because 3MB's already in there. The Freebirds can't do it. So
Hazel dust off the boots.
Yeah, he might. I know Hayes will, but he's got Jimmy Jam Garvin, Buddy Roberts can't do it, and Terry Gordy can't do it.
Hayes was in the gimmick battle royal.
Hey, shit, I'm still shocked the Freebirds are in the Hall of Fame for New Orleans, but that's another story, I suppose. That's another story, but I don't really have any guesses as far as surprises go. It'll be like Hacksaw Jim Duggan, probably, some shit like that. But, okay. I like it. Yeah.
It's funny, I'm looking at this graphic, and I'm like, holy shit, Rey Mysterio was in this thing? Oh,
Rey Mysterio is there. He's a Battle Royal
Sheamus
favorite.
Sheamus is in this thing?
I'm telling you, Sheamus is there, and Christian might be there. Yeah, Christian's listed there. I don't know if he'll be able to compete with the concussion.
They have Ziggler's in it. Del Rio's in it.
There's guys in there. Mark Henry, the world's strongest man. Zack Ryder.
There's your winner.
Yeah, exactly. Kofi.
It takes more than one hand. It takes more than one hand to count the world champions in this battle royal. So it's not like the field sucks.
Yeah, the world champions. The world champions. There's the great Khali. But as far as my actual pick goes, I think it's going to come down to we got the Rhodes there, Goldust and Cody Rhodes, and they keep teasing this split between them. So maybe it comes in this Battle Royal. So I'm going to roll the dice. I'm going to go with one of my boys from back in the day, one of my guys, Cody Rhodes, the star of the JBL and Cole show. That's right. The dashing one or the not dashing one, one or the other. But we'll go Cody. Cody Rhodes.
I thought you might go there, actually. I thought you might go there.
I like Cody a lot, yes.
Wouldn't surprise me at all if they finally did something with Cody through this battle royal. I like Patrick O'Dowd's Rob Van Dam idea for the surprise entrant, mainly because he's already announced that he's going to be at Raw the next night, so that kind of makes sense. I could easily see, a Diesel, a Booker T, WWE going that route. Here's the thing about this battle royal. This thing's going to take 45 minutes because everyone's going to get their entrance. Like, you're not going to have people walking out to some generic music. This is WrestleMania.
We got Justin Gabriel. We got Brad Maddox.
Yeah, they'll get a quick entrance. They'll be spaced in between the better entrances. They get more time. But you factor in, a good 18 entrances, considering some of the teams and everything. So maybe 20 entrances. Plus, you've got the Battle Royal itself. This thing's going to go on. Again, it's a 7-match card on a 4-hour show. So this thing's going to get some serious time. I think Patrick Adow was correct when he said they've pushed the Big Show thing too hard. I don't think Big Show's going to win. I wanted Big E to win for a while. He was kind of my pick. But someone eliminating Big E sort of sets up Big E's next feud if they go that way. So it kind of leaves me, in all honesty, if you're looking for a guy with some credibility, a guy for a WrestleMania moment, although I love the Cody Rhodes pick, I'm going to pick Sheamus. I'm going to bet on the safe side and pick Sheamus to win the WrestleMania worthless Battle Royal. That's what
Sheamus has won 30-man matches before.
He has.
I was there.
He eliminated Jericho, and no one expected it. So I'm going with Sheamus. At least we have different winners.
There you go.
With the Big Show.
I would hope so. With 30 people in the match, you better.
There's a lot of options.
Yeah. Say that. I mean, let's go. I'll take you back to our Royal Rumble preview, and how many people pick in.
Yeah.
That's an unfair Battle Royal to compare it to.
You are
like
correct.
You really can't. That sits in a vacuum all its own.
You're right. You're right about that, and no one can argue. No one can argue against that. So, next up, we have a 6-man tag team match between Kane and the New Age Outlaws, battling it out. Old school versus new school, as they were kind of pushing it on Raw, against, of course, the aforementioned or aforetheme played Shield. Steve, we'll let you start off with what you think of this one and who's going to win.
It's one of the less inspired Shield matches I've seen in quite a while. I mean, you have the Shield and team. They're 6-man matches with a lot of great teams, a lot of different combinations. Kane and New Age Outlaws, not one of the better combinations they faced, I don't think.
No.
It seems not so great to me. We've heard different things theorized. I remember back in your column a couple weeks ago, Greg, you theorized that it'd be Kane and the Ascension.
I didn't theorize that. I was somebody else reported it, and I did say it was a good idea.
Was it the Grail? Did the Grail come from the Grail?
It did not come from the Grail. It actually came from worse than the Grail. It came from WrestleZone.
Oh, it's even worse. Okay.
Yes, Justin Labar from WrestleZone.
That would have been better, actually. That would have been better.
I would like that better than this.
Although I do like the New Age Outlaws wearing suits. That's kind of funny to me for whatever reason. I kind of enjoy that, but
the corporate outlaws, whatever they call them.
Unless you're breaking up the Shield here, which I don't, like I've said before, I don't want to do that. You just got to have the Shield win and get the big Shield pop in front of the Superdome, is what I got to figure. I guess you get Kane win, but why? Now I see an argument against the Shield.
It could be his last match, but I don't, it doesn't do it for me. So, Patrick O'Dowd.
My first question when I look at this match is, why in the world did Kane have to go all Vladimir Putin for the graphic? I mean, you sit there, you look at it, and he's all like standing there shirtless like, I'm Kane and a badass. What's up with that? But anyway, I see no reason why the Shield should lose, really, unless they're going to break him up, which... Maybe they do. Maybe this is the big moment where, you know, at the Rollins and Ambrose turn that we're all anticipating finally happens. I hope not. But I don't know that WrestleMania is where it happens. It's been a very quickly put together feud. It's got a little quick story going to it about taking on the Authority, or at least the arms of the Authority in this case. And I think that this is going to be that get the Shield pop, have them go, you know, have the fans go nuts for them. Shield wins. Done.
And honestly, at this point, for the longest time, I thought the Shield was going to break up at WrestleMania. I thought it made the most sense. The more I see it, obviously, maybe they're this close, this tight-knit now, because so it'll be a surprise when the breakup happens. I really don't know, but... I have to say the Shield's going to win, too. Like, I just can't see... Obviously, they wouldn't lose clean to this group, because this group doesn't deserve to beat the Shield clean unless Triple H is that bad, and I try to give him more credit than that. I think the Shield's going to win. I know it's the safe pick now, and I hope they win, because I don't want them to break up. The Shield is too entertaining. I think it still has legs as a group, especially now that they're full-fledged faces. People love them. People go nuts for the Shield. I don't think them being a unit will hold anybody back at this point either, the way they've all been used. You know, unless they do something on Raw where Ambrose is forced to defend the belt and it's like Reigns or Rollins who steps up the challenge for it. But
he
I just don't see that
belt.
Happening. Yes, shocker. He still has
I keep
the United
forgetting
States Championship.
That. He still has the belt,
I mean,
but Rollins and Ambrose is such a fun babyface tag team, though. They can't
they
turn
are.
Heel. They're so fun. I mean, Dean Ambrose, an awesome Ricky Morton, and Seth Rollins on the hot tag. Come on, you can't have him turn. That's just too good.
No, I agree.
Which
I
means
agree.
They'll
no
do it.
Of
yeah,
course.
Yeah, I know.
Which means they'll do it.
Which means they'll do it, and the real Americans will stay together for like 2 more years. That's
probably.
We'll keep teasing the tension, and
right.
every month or so,
Zeb
will be
just
the dad.
Yes,
because
let's be honest, even though they're heels, people love to scream "We the People." So
yeah,
it's just again, catchphrase city. That's WrestleMania is going to be catchphrase city this year, and who knows what they're going to come up with? Because remember, 2 years ago it was the Yes chant. Yeah, last year it was the Fandango song. I don't know what it's going to be
we
this
the
year.
People.
It's probably going
but
to
the
be.
But the thing is, Zeb is not as hard right as like the Republicans are at this point.
That's true.
He
Zeb's
can't
kind of
be
a heel.
He can't go that
He's
far.
A heel.
I mean, it's great.
No.
He can't be a Republican at this point. He can't go that far.
Not at this point. Not at
That's
this point.
That's my political rant.
There you go. Only on the Greg DeMarco show and lots of other shows. Divas Invitational. AJ Lee defending pretty much against every female on the roster. I'm not going to list them all out.
Except for
Steffi
and Renee Young.
Yeah.
Who else?
Who else? I don't even know.
Devin Taylor in NXT. Paige isn't there. Yeah.
No, Paige isn't there, but Emma is. Devin Taylor, by the way, highly, highly underrated. We'll
I'm
talk about
that. I'm a big Devin Taylor fan, yes.
As we all should be. So, Patrick O'Dowd, who's going to win? Does anyone care, and who's going to win?
I was going to say, it doesn't really matter because nobody will be watching. They'll all be getting drinks or going to the restaurant.
Watching.
Well, yes, he's going to make sure his rumored fiance is in the match of her life. I don't understand why this match needs to happen this way to get the belt off of AJ, but I think that's what is going to happen is that AJ is going to lose the belt. I'll say which Bella can actually wrestle. Brie, is that the one that can wrestle? Or is the other one? I don't even know.
Well, Nikki's got the best rack actually. In the business. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, that's true. Whichever one, I don't care. It's going to go – the last name will be Bella. I'm going to cheat and say one of the Bellas is going to win.
Hey, Bella.
Hey, Bella. Pick a Bella. We'll say – I said Brie first just for funsies. There you go.
All right, Brie Bella. Steve Cook.
Okay, I don't think this person will win, but I think this person should win. This person has been the star of Total Divas in Season 2. She's turned around the show on its head. She's made Natalya look like a total biatch. I'm telling you, and she's Fandango's partner. Been doing great with Fandango. Been doing great in the ring. To me, Summer Rae, she's the star here. She's the one that should go over. If you want to keep a heel with the title and get off AJ somehow, I think Summer Rae's the girl to have it. And if you want to keep the Total Divas booking, that'll just make all of them mad. So, Summer Rae, my pick. That would be the smart pick, I think, but I don't think it'll happen. But I'm going with her anyway. I like Summer Rae. I like her a lot. She's just great. Fantastic.
She surprised me. She surprised me as a performer, and she definitely has a bright future ahead of her, and she's improved tremendously in the ring. That said, I'm also going with Brie Bella. I had already typed Brie Bella when we started this. Again, more Total Divas stuff. And if Daniel Bryan walks out with his championship, we'll get the WrestleMania 20 celebration, but we'll get it with Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella. Wouldn't that just be amazing?
Oh,
it'd be kind of cute. It'd be kind of cute. I would take Brie Bella over anybody else involved there. But you know.
Well, who knows? What I will say is this. We're not going to get the Paige sighting that everyone wants to happen in this Battle Royal.
No, that's not happening. Unless she enters the
We probably will.
Battle Royal.
No, but you know who
She's
will? But we
surprising.
I'm sure Alexander Rusev will be in that Battle Royal, and he could actually
be
one
of the guys.
Totally forgot about him, but whatever.
Okay,
so. There we go. The bathroom break of the Greg DeMarco show is now over, as we're done talking about the Divas match, so we hope you're all back.
Whenever I talk about Summer Rae, I have an urge to go to the bathroom. That's another story from another time.
Oh.
Hey. Well, you know, I'm a hot 100 guy. What can I say? That's what I do.
That's true. You're playing the role. Steve Cook is...
I'm playing my gimmick.
It's gimmick infringement, and you know it.
That's right.
Oh, goodness.
That's what I do!
Just for next you.
Like so,
next up on the list, we do have a match that I'm excited for. Some people haven't liked the build. I like the build, and I really loved what they did with John Cena last night on Raw. That is, of course, John Cena going one-on-one with Bray Wyatt. Steve Cook, the floor is yours.
It's been a good build. I think it's been a fantastic build. I mean, for God's sakes, John Cena, the biggest star in WWE, it's tough to get anybody on this guy's level. It really is. And with Bray Wyatt, a new guy, a guy who just came in over the past year or so, he's got the Wyatt family going. Remember back when they had the card set in stone for WrestleMania, and one of the matches was John Cena versus Bray Wyatt, and we were all thinking, wait a minute, there's no way they can pull that off. There's no way Bray Wyatt is on John Cena's level. That's just not going to work. It's not going to happen. But sure enough, a lot of those matches that were set in stone, minus, you know, CM Punk, minus Daniel Bryan, a lot of those matches ended up happening, including John Cena versus Bray Wyatt. And they keep bringing the Eminem song. Tony Acero, it's like his favorite build of all time. He loves it because it's got an Eminem song going. It's all about John Cena's legacy. Bray Wyatt taking shots at Bray Wyatt, telling the people that John Cena is trying to brainwash him, and he has been for so long. But Bray Wyatt wants to be the guy to brainwash him himself. And it's been a great build that way. We've seen a lot of good wrestling. We see John Cena being forced to wear a sheep mask. He wore it himself this week, got some revenge on the Wyatts. Crazy stuff going on. So I'm pretty excited about the match. I am going to pick John Cena because picking John Cena is a safe thing to do. It really is. I mean, the guy wins. It is what it is. But it would make Bray Wyatt's career possibly to win this match. But I'm not sure he gets it done.
So how does Cena win? Does Cena win pinfall, disqualification, tap out?
I wouldn't have Bray Wyatt tap out. I'd have a pinfall. Don't make the guy quit.
Patrick O'Dowd.
I've established this many times when talking about Bray Wyatt, and I'm actually happy, Greg, that you choose to quote me about this all the time. Bray Wyatt
all the time.
Bray Wyatt is crazy, and crazy doesn't care whether he wins or loses. Like, he doesn't. Like, that's not his purpose. Winning the match means nothing to him. I think John Cena wins via disqualification. In some crazy way, like that Bray Wyatt either tries to take it too far or the Wyatt family gets involved. That usually doesn't happen in WrestleMania. But for me, it's a way for John Cena to win and the feud to continue with the Bray Wyatt still kind of staying on top. I actually think this is one of the few storylines that doesn't get wrapped up after WrestleMania 30 is over. Because I think that it really does have some real legs. And I agree with what, you know, you mentioned before when we were mocking the set in stone thing. I think they've been very effective at building it and creating it. What I've found interesting is that it happened so fast, but yet I'm not like feeling like this needs to be resolved. Like, I feel like this needs to keep going. So yeah, I'm going to go with Bray Wyatt via some sort of losing. I'm with John Cena winning via some sort of disqualification, even though it's WrestleMania, and it usually doesn't happen that way.
There we go. Two votes Cena, but very different reasons. I've enjoyed the build. I think they did a great job with John Cena. They could have stopped with just what he did. They didn't even need him to cut the promo that he cut. But it's, you know, It's John Cena. We have to have him talk. But him and the outfit worked out well. I enjoyed it. The build has been good for me. It's been great for them to showcase Bray Wyatt in the way they have. I think someday Crazy will care, Patrick O'Dowd, because Bray could very easily become obsessed with the championship. But not yet.
Could be.
Not yet at all. But as for right now, I'm in agreement. I think that Bray Wyatt either loses by disqualification or somehow sacrifices himself in losing the match. But I just don't see so I'm going to go by DQ because I just can't think of a better way for it to happen. I think we could see a pretty tremendous Cena beatdown at the end of this match to really kind of sell what's happened with the Wyatts. Or Bray Wyatt wins and then Cena beats them at Extreme Rules or the next pay-per-view at Good Backlash. Patrick Rodan.
Backlash.
I could see that you happen know, too, but I'm officially going
Bray
with
Wyatt's
the disqualification.
Bray Wyatt's an awesome babyface, by the way. He is an awesome babyface, Bray Wyatt.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
He probably will be within a year. You know how the WWE fan base works.
Well, he's already playing. He already he goes for the cheap pop with the town name already.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they do the entrance.
The fans
just wait.
Clap along with the song. Come on.
When he does the new one. And remember, he's supposedly getting a live performance of his theme song at WrestleMania. By the way, I'll say this. Since the Battle Royal is, you know, not on the pre-show, or probably in the middle of the card. If I were the WWE, and I'm not, and I know they won't, this would be the first match on the show. This would be the opener. That could you just imagine, lights go out, Cena's music hits first, the crowd would go nuts. It's a good way to start off the show, in my opinion. And I like spacing things out at WrestleMania. I would open the show with this match. I don't think it's going to happen. But I think that's what
they don't
that,
have the world title to open the show anymore, so it'll be interesting to see what
they they don't. No, and you know Triple H ain't opening the show. So that's going to go on first. No way.
Well, it'd be shady to Red No One at WrestleMania
10. Hold on.
Come on.
Here's the thing, and I know we're going to get this. Do we really think only one person is going to emerge from that match and enter into the main event, or is somehow both of them
we'll
emerge from that match?
We'll get there. You're getting ahead of yourself.
You opened up the question of Triple H not going on first. Think about this for your ego. He's going on first and last.
All right, well, we'll get there. But before we talk about that, we have to talk about the streak versus the Beast, the Undertaker, as he would tell us, 21 men have stepped up and 21 men have fallen short, although it was more like, what, 17 men or something?
16, somewhere in there.
The Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar, Patrick O'Dowd, who you got?
I can't see any reason why Brock Lesnar breaks the streak. You know, and who knows if there needs to be a reason or if there's one person who's supposed to be the magical one to do it. Maybe it will be Brock. You were talking about people being dissatisfied with builds. I would say this is one where the start of this feud I really loved. Like, I tweeted like crazy about how awesome it was with Brock Lesnar and Heyman standing out there in the middle of the ring, not happy that they weren't getting a shot at a title or anything like that. And as you called it, Greg, a consolation prize arrives in The Undertaker, and they get ready to do that contract. And I'd still eat up things like the pen stab and signing it in Brock Lesnar's blood, like was all for it. And then they just like cooled the crap out of this thing. And sort of just plodded along and really didn't have Lesnar do much. Except look scared of The Undertaker right up until Raw and a clothesline and an F5, and suddenly Brock is back and okay. That's been what's been disappointing for me, because I think this match could have had a lot more excitement built into it, and I feel like it failed on the WWE's part. Because of that, I feel like they haven't given me any reason to really believe that Brock's an obstacle. And I don't know that it makes a lot of sense for, you know, the returning Brock Lesnar to end the Undertaker streak. So I think the Undertaker wins. I think the streak continues, and I'll see you next year when he wrestles Steve Borland and is really tired and old.
That ain't happening.
I'm just making jokes.
Real estate, Steve.
Yeah.
Yes.
Real estate, Steve.
Oh boy!
One vote for the Undertaker, Steve Cook.
It's gonna be two votes, and honestly, there's not a whole lot you can say about this match that Patrick hasn't already said. The build-up for the match, it started off okay, but then it kind of slowed down to nothing. And their plan for a while just seemed to be okay. Have Paul Heyman talk. Have him just go out there and talk for a few minutes, and that'll be our build for the week. And I know Paul Heyman framers are the best thing ever, don't get me wrong, but Yeah, I'm not really excited about this match. They've done nothing to make me believe that Brock Lesnar has a chance in hell of ending the streak. And let's just move on, honestly. Unless Greg thinks that they can, unless Greg thinks that Undertaker can lose here somehow.
I would love to be the guy who picks Brock Lesnar and is right, but I can't. I can't do it because I don't see any reason for Brock Lesnar to end the streak other than the Undertaker wants to lose it to somebody who's already been legitimized. But I don't see the respect the Undertaker has for the business. I think if the streak ends, and I believe it should, it'll go to somebody like a Roman Reigns or even a John Cena. I just don't see it going to Brock Lesnar. Lesnar, remember, turned his back on wrestling and left. And here's kind of that traditionalist. So, you know, it'd be like CM Punk coming back and ending the streak. That's not going to happen either because of what he did. So I do think The Undertaker is going to win. I've liked the build, especially given the fact that, you know, they're constrained by Lesnar's contract. The Undertaker wasn't on every show. I'm okay with what they did, and I had no problem with it. I did call the consolation prize, so maybe that's why I feel so strongly about the build. Who knows? But I am having to go with The Undertaker as well. I just cannot see them doing anything other than having it go that way. So that, of course, brings us to the main event, the main event of the show. I kind of put two matches together for the main event, which is Daniel Bryan versus Triple H, and then the winner with Orton and Batista in a three-way for the World Heavyweight Championship. So, Steve Cook, we'll let you kick things off.
For a lot of people, for perhaps the majority of people, whether WrestleMania 30 is good or bad, or whether it's memorable or whether it's not memorable, it's got to come down to one thing. Did Daniel Bryan beat Triple H? Did Daniel Bryan win the World Heavyweight Championship? That's what it's going to come down to. That's what it comes down to. Did Daniel Bryan complete the dream? Did he get his odyssey? Did he manage to win the championship in main event of WrestleMania? And if he doesn't, if he loses Triple H and goes away, we will consider the entire show a failure, no matter what else happens on this event. I'm not wrong here, I don't think. A lot of people, they'll think if Daniel Bryan didn't win beat Triple H, if he hadn't won the title, this show is a failure in a lot of people's eyes. And I could see them going the other way. They might think, hey, let's drag this out till Extreme Rules, make him get another show. But no, I don't think people want to see that. I think people want to see Daniel Bryan beat Triple H. I think anyone's seen beat Randy Orton Batista, which, by the way, it's kind of a shame how Randy Orton Batista have kind of become so marginalized here, how nobody cares about either of them. It's kind of, I don't know if it's sad for them. I'm kind of, I laugh at it. It's kind of funny. I don't know if I'm sad for them, but they're really non-factors here. It's all about Daniel Bryan, or I guess there's always the theory of Triple H comes through and wins, but for the most part, Randy Orton Batista, there are non-factors here. I'm picking Daniel Bryan go all the way because I'm a Daniel Bryan guy, and I believe him, so I think he goes all the way.
All right, so we got a Daniel Bryan and a Daniel Bryan from Steve Cook. Patrick O'Dowd.
Well, like I mentioned before, there's something in the back of my head, and I don't know that I have the guts enough to say that there's going to be something screwy that happens with Daniel Bryan and Triple H where they both get counted out, you know, because they took something to the outside, or there's something screwy that leads to no definitive winner, resulting in the both of them being injected into the main event, where then Daniel Bryan eventually gets the win with the pin on Triple H. I think that what's more reasonable to happen is what Cook just laid out there, because the fans want to see Daniel Bryan beat Triple H. They want to see his hand raised in victory with a World Heavyweight Championship and chant yes at the end. So I'm going to side with Cook, though I don't know why. If I prove to be right, you can make fun of me for not having the balls to run with it. But I'm saying Bryan wins, and I'll say he's going to run the table too. I just can't see them making the mistake, you know, that TNA did with James Storm.
And with many other people, for that matter.
Yes.
That's true.
Monty Brown comes to mind back in the day.
Monty Brown, yeah, but James Storm is the one I always go back to.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It is. Well, and it's you know, Patrick brings up a good point. What the suggestion that Patrick is making would be, honestly, in my opinion, a great idea by the WWE, because if Daniel Bryan wins both matches on the same show, does the victory over Triple H become overshadowed and less memorable? I don't know. I mean, beating all three of those guys in the same show is kind of amazing. No one's ever done that before, and would be quite the feather in the cap of Daniel Bryan. But would maybe all four guys being in the main event and then Triple H does a rematch at Extreme Rules and Daniel Bryan gets to beat him clean there. Who knows? But before I make my prediction, I'm going to call an audible because we have somebody on the line. Not that I don't love the song, but hey, I'm trying to make some time here. Ladies and gentlemen, Sue Young is here to give her predictions of the last two matches at WrestleMania. Sue, welcome back.
What's up, guys? I missed you guys so much.
We missed you, too, especially Patrick O'Dowd.
I do. It's true.
What do you guys – well, this is just going to be crazy. What a lineup for WrestleMania, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's insane, and you're going to be down there in the area too, so we're excited for you.
Yeah. It's going to be such a great time because I'll be there with WWE and live experience, and if anyone's in the area, you guys should definitely check it out.
That's right, and if they can see, if they check out the social media, they'll know about the outfits you're bringing, the fun that they'll have down there, of course, at Real Sue Young. Find Sue Young on Facebook as well, on the Twitter and on the Instagram. But Sue, what everyone wants to know, Daniel Bryan versus Triple H for a spot in the main event at WrestleMania. Who wins that, and who walks out the WWE World Heavyweight Champion?
It's such a tough thing, but it's more along the lines of what I really want to happen versus like what I feel like is going to happen, because I hope that magic happens that night. And I feel like they're going to push Daniel Bryan through like, Daniel Bryan's definitely going to defeat Triple H, but when it comes down to Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton, and Batista, I feel like somehow, some way, Triple H is going to screw it up, and then Triple H is going to make himself the champion because it's best for business, and then the next Monday night following Raw, Daniel Bryan becomes the champion. Because I feel like that's, like, the happy moment where they get their ratings on TV and stuff like that, and it seems really smart marketable-wise. But as far as match-wise, I'm really hoping that this match actually turns Randy Orton and Batista into some sort of, like, physical hardcore match that we see down the line, because what they left with us on Raw the other night was amazing. Like, it was so good.
Yeah, it was a good match and definitely one that was highly enjoyable. And Given better circumstances, I think the people would have received the feud better than the way it was received by most of the WWE fan base. So we have a Daniel Bryan prediction and a Triple H prediction from Sue Young. And Sue, you got some travel coming up super soon. I mean, you're going to be on the road here shortly, and you know, it's going to be crazy for you.
Are
you already on
the
road?
And I actually have some people in the car.
All right.
Feel like you guys would like to say hi to.
Sure.
Let me pass it on to the first person.
Person number one.
I miss you, Greg. I haven't seen you since Arizona.
No, you haven't. I don't know who this is, though. I don't recognize your voice. I feel bad. Who
have you?
Here,
I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to use your phone.
Do this.
Here. Sorry, my beard was in the way of the phone.
Is it Jack Jameson?
Well, there you go. Now you got it.
Beauty. Jack Jameson. Good. I do miss Jack. Jack Jameson, of course, came on the show. Jack Jameson, by the way, what was it, like back in November, told us that Daniel Bryan would win, all would be right at WrestleMania, and Daniel Bryan would leave as the World Heavyweight Champion. And here we are.
What's going to happen?
I called it.
You did. You called it months ago.
That's what's happening.
Months ago, you did.
You did, in fact, do that. So good stuff for you. We're short on time. But, man, travel safely with those guys. And
thank you.
And light it up. Have an awesome WrestleMania weekend, man. And we'll bring you back on as we're now on Tuesdays, and we will do this again with you in the near future.
Sounds good, guys. Y'all have a good night, and let me hand the phone back to Sue.
Sounds good.
And before you guys get a hold of me, I have one more other person that would like to say hi to you guys.
Beautiful.
Yo, what up? It's Rich Swan. How you guys doing?
Oh, Rich Swan, the man who always sings his way into the Greg DeMarco show. This carload is almost the amount of fun that this carload is going to have is intimidating.
Yeah, right, you know, I mean, it's always going to be some fun road stories that's going to be on the Greg DeMarco show the next time I'm on.
We will set that up, and maybe we'll bring all three of you on together to tell some fun road.
Oh, boy.
There we go. That's how we do it on the Greg DeMarco show. Of course, Rich and Stu.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Don't get him started.
Of course, WWNLive.com and all the Dragon Gate USA and Evolve shows down there in New Orleans. You can check out Rich Swan. Hell of a six-man tag match that you were announced for, too. So
hey,
should be very,
hey,
very exciting.
Let me tell you something. I have watched Masato Tanaka since I was a kid, like the ECW, FMW, all that. I'm such a fan of Mike Awesome, Tanaka, Feud, like, he's one of my favorite. And I am so pumped. To mention that I'm going to be in there with my tag partner, Roderick Strong, and Fox, and Ricochet, and we're wrestling Chris Hero. This is, like, I don't even know. Like, then that's the first round match in the tournament. Like, how can we go up from there? Like, the
I don't have an answer for that. I think people just have to watch and see.
Yeah, I guess.
Outstanding. Well, Rich, travel safely, and I can't wait to hear on air, so they have to be safe, well, as safe as you want them to be, some of the WrestleMania road stories that you guys are going to have. Just this drive together, I'm sure, is going to be outstanding.
Oh, it's going to be disgusting. Yeah.
All right. Let's let us say bye to Sue one more time, and then you guys can travel safely.
There you go. Peace out.
Hey, guys.
Welcome
we got
back.
A load of people.
I know.
In the back. I got, I think, David Fuente coming on the road with us, and it's going to be a great road trip. If anyone wants to catch up with the road trip and any progress, follow us on Twitter, and we'll definitely catch you guys up on how our road trip's going.
There you go. Let us know. And, Sue, we will do this after you're back, and we'll get a lot of great stories. It'll be a lot of fun.
And you guys are going to get a lot of great pictures, too, because I'll make sure that I send tons towards the Greg DeMarco show, definitely representing it over at Wrestle Weekend. That's what I want to call it, Wrestle Weekend, because it's not just WrestleMania. It's not just WrestleCon. It's not just WWE Live Experience or any of the other ones that are going on. It's just a big wrestling love fest, and I love it.
Well, we look forward to it. Yep, send some tweets at Greg DeMarco Show so we can see them. We'll send them out to all the listeners. They'll love it. We'll love it. We'll have a great time. You be safe. Have a lot of fun, and I can't wait to hear about all the stuff you guys do.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. I miss you guys so much.
We do, too. We'll see you later.
All right. Good night, Patrick. Good night, Greg.
Good night, Sue.
There we go. Sue Young, surprise
appearance.
Good night,
Steve.
That's fine. I'm here somewhere.
She's trying. It's not like she had a notepad or anybody's name.
For God's sake, she's
very
like,
true.
She's got people in the car with her. It's tough to
I
keep
know.
Track. For God's sake.
We try to bring things back to the WrestleMania card. So I think she predicted Daniel Bryan was going to be Triple H and then Triple H is going to win the world title. I think that's what
she did.
Which confuses me, but whatever.
Watch her be right, and then we'll all be
exactly.
And Jack Jameson reaffirmed his prediction from back in November that Daniel Bryan will leave WrestleMania as the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Although at the time, it wasn't even a unified championship. He didn't predict that part, though. I'm with you guys. As much as I like Patrick O'Dowd's idea of the four-way, because it does set up a future Daniel Bryan versus Triple H match, giving them kind of their own stage. I think they're going to do it. I think they're going to let, you know, as Sue called it, you know, let it be that magic. And because if Daniel Bryan were to beat Triple H and then somehow get screwed in the end, then Daniel Bryan beating Triple H is kind of lost. And I just can't see that. But if Daniel Bryan beats Triple H and then wins in the end, then you've got two major instances of the yes chant. And does it wear the people out? Is the second one not as big as the first one? I don't know. I don't think that'll be a problem, though. I'm going with Daniel Bryan to run the table. I'm going to be uninteresting and agree with everybody else, but I think that's what they've been setting up since SummerSlam. They're on purpose or not, I don't care. At this point, that's the direction they're in, and I think it makes the most sense. And I think they're going to do the right thing. I can't say what's going to happen in the weeks and months that go on after that, but I think on this night, at the Showcase of the Immortals, we are going to get the Daniel Bryan show in the end. And it wouldn't surprise me if these two matches go on back-to-back, maybe, and then we don't get the huge yes moment until the very end, or maybe they space them out. I don't know, but I think the show ends as it should, with Daniel Bryan victorious and everybody screaming yes repeatedly at the top of their lungs. So there we go. There you have it, WrestleMania. Any final thoughts, buy or no buy? Patrick, we'll let you go first.
As I say every year, it's WrestleMania. It's always a buy.
Always. And, of course, now you have the WWE Network, so you've kind of already bought.
Yeah.
Well, and that makes it even more of a reason to buy. You're dropping $10 for an $80 value if you ordered it off your cable company.
There you go. Steve?
I have the network as well, so obviously I'll be buying it. And it'll be interesting to see definitely how the live feed goes for WrestleMania, whether it's a smooth ride for us all or whether it crashes during a match or two. I have a bad feeling it'll probably crash for a match or two, but hey, I'm going to hope. I'm going to hope it goes better than a lot of those live iPay-per-views out there, and we can see at least most of the show. I mean, for God's sake.
Yeah, that is going to be interesting. That is going to be interesting. I'm concerned as well. Do we know the kind of ratings that Main Event has pulled in on the network? I don't even know.
I have no idea.
But it does concern me a little bit because of the fact that it's I hope they know what they're doing. I hope they've tested it to the point where that won't be a problem, because honestly, I don't want to deal. I'd have to shut off my Twitter account at that point, because I don't want to deal with the complaining that would happen.
Nerd rage. You'll have to deal with nerd rage.
Nerd rage.
Nerd
rage.
That said, I am also a buy, and I'm also watching it on the WWE Network. So we'll all either love it or hate it together. Is what's going to happen.
I'm telling you,
so
it'll be based on whether Daniel Bryan wins the title or not. That'll be what decides whether people love or hate the show.
Yeah, it's the Main Event theory I've talked about in the past.
That will determine the reaction from the internet. They'll either love it with Daniel Bryan winning, or they'll hate it because he lost.
So maybe the WWE is banking on the network going down so that nobody sees Daniel Bryan lose. It's a conspiracy theory. Well, I figured it out. Book it,
go.
Greg.
Maybe, Patrick, if the network crashes, they have him lose so that everybody tunes in to see him win on Raw.
And then the Holy Grail will tell us that this was the plan all along.
That's right.
That's right. That's right. Maybe the stability of the network will determine the booking for WrestleMania. We'll see. Steve Cook, a pleasure as always. We look forward to your reactions to both Mania and Raw next week
It'll be next Tuesday. We're on Tuesdays now, right?
We are permanently, for now, on Tuesdays.
Permanently for now.
Until a month from now when Greg changes networks again.
Okay. Keeping track of all this stuff. It's tough to keep track.
You need a spreadsheet. You need a spreadsheet.
He's elusive.
You just send me something. I'll be here. Just send out the call. So you send out the cook signal, and then I'm
cook
there.
Signal.
The cook signal.
That's right.
The cook signal. It looks like a silhouette of a woman, and it works every time.
That's what draws me. Yes, sir.
Wonderful. Steve Cook, we'll do it again soon.
You all have a good night, gentlemen.
Night, Cook.
Here we go. Patrick O'Dowd. It's whenever we have somebody brand new on the show, I always worry about them making it on, especially when they're Skyping into the program. That is always worrisome.
You went off schedule. I'm putting this one on you.
I did. Oh, no, there's nothing to worry about, Patrick.
Oh, okay, good.
It's time!
Because we, Patrick O'Dowd, do not have to be concerned. There's really nothing to be worried about. We are, in fact, lucky to welcome to the program. Very beautiful, very talented. I feel like I should play some music to bring her on, Patrick O'Dowd. But I don't have the right song. I don't know if we have the specific song for this person, Patrick. I don't know. What do you think? You think I should just pick something?
I, Pick something. Do what you gotta do.
All right. Well, we'll just go all the way with it.
Time to get off.
And of course, we are pleased to welcome on board model that you've probably seen online for Playboy, overseas as well. She's very beautiful and lucky on the show, the one and only Jessie Aaron. Jessie, thank you so much for joining us here on the Greg DeMarco Show.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Welcome. We can hear you loud and clear. That's
yes, loud and clear.
Type.
Thank you guys
Perfect
for having
indeed.
Me.
Oh, no problem. Thank you so much for coming on. You know, of course, the funny story about how this came to be, but we're gonna save that for later as we welcome you on. And just so I have to do a quick service to the listeners, because we've been doing this show for 3 years now, I know my listeners. You listeners who are pulling up Google right now, it's JESSYERINN. There you go. Have at it, because that's just what they do. So... Jesse, I'm sure every supermodel has a different story, but how did you get into this crazy world of modeling that you're doing right now?
I don't even know, to be honest. I was contacted by one of my friends to be in a music video, and then from there, after the music video, we did a photo shoot, and then I got involved with the Playboy Miss Social contest online, and then basically we just skyrocketed from there, and then I went into all sorts of competitions and did different photo shoots and basically just got my name out there wherever I could.
There you go. Now, again, for our listeners, they got to know what's the music video, because I'm sure they're going to want to YouTube this.
it's by Audio Playground and Snoop Dogg. And what was it called? Jesus, what was it called? It's by Snoop Dogg and Audio Playground. What the hell?
There's
is it
probably
called?
Not too many of those out there. We'll do some research for you. We'll find out.
Yeah, it's right. I'll just pull up YouTube now. Like
it's,
what,
it's called
Emergency.
I already found it. Literally, like one
damn
shot.
Damn it!
Found it right. I know. You can find it.
Dude,
the reason why I can find it is because her picture immediately comes up.
Doesn't
you,
shock her.
Yeah. Well, I mean, come on. Who would be surprised by that? You know, you can pick the cover photo when you put a YouTube video out there, and guess who they picked.
It's not yeah. Snoop?
Yeah, not Snoop. No, not at all.
It's because he's ugly. Oh, I mean,
hey.
He's a very talented musician.
He is.
he is a very talented musician. And did you get to meet Snoop throughout the process?
No, it was just the Audio Playground group.
Oh, that's okay.
They
Nothing.
Subbed in his part, I think.
Mm-hmm. It happens. That's how you got to do things. But it looks like the song is called Emergency. Snoop Dogg and Audio Playground. Featuring, of course, the person we're on the air right now is Jessie Aaron. So, Jessie, here's my thing. Any girl can get someone with a camera, take pictures, post them online. But what makes someone like you, actually be a legit model, which you are? What makes that difference?
I think it's just the amount of things that I've been involved in. And, I don't know, I've been in a lot of different online magazines, magazines that you may have seen in Barnes & Noble in the States. I don't know, basically I just put myself out there and it's been feeding off it. So it's so far so good.
Excellent. Very good. Now, I need to get this out of the way now again because I know my listeners, and they're already looking. So are they going to find what they're looking for online? Are they going to find, you know, the nude photos of you online, or should they just not look? At this point?
Well, at this point, they're off of the internet. I'm not sure what happened, but my Cybergirl photo shoot from Mexico Playboy, there's only 3 photos on there. They had an issue with the website, so they're working on getting it fixed, but hopefully soon enough they'll be back on. And I'm also working on some different photo shoots with Playboy as well, so hopefully those will be up online as well, and you'll be able to check them out.
Now, Jesse, you can't actually hear this, but in unison, there were about, you know, I don't know how many thousands of people that just went, oh.
I know, right?
I don't think they did. If I know our voices,
well,
Patrick,
no, I'm just, you just I mean, I know our listeners, because, dude, I got the,
I've got the Google page up. I'm floating through the images. I saw a zombie priestess thing going on here. Which, you know, just I'm a big Walking Dead fan, so that works, you know, whatever. Not really sure how zombies are sexy, but apparently you made it so. Congratulations.
Thank you. I know, I love zombies. Love vampires and all that stuff.
Very nice. We're going to get along very well then.
Perfect.
Greg, I'm sorry. Did I cut you off, pal?
It's all good. It's all good.
All right, excellent.
You were making points. All I'm saying is yes, thousands of people went, oh, but there were some few that were like, they're out there. We'll find them.
They are out there. Somebody saved them somewhere, and they're going to post them.
The internet nerd is a very persistent breed. We work hard.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the power of the internet, Patrick O'Dowd, and the power of our show. And right in the middle of a search for pictures of Jesse Aaron comes up a picture of John Cena and The Shield. So,
a few days
after being announced for a wrestling show, there's already a wrestling picture in the middle of all the results for Jesse. However, plenty of results featuring you easily found before you get to any of that.
John Cena and The Shield.
That's okay. John Cena's a cool guy.
That's right. But Patrick O'Dowd, the floor is actually yours now, Patrick O'Dowd. I'll let you ask some questions.
Well, sure. So like I said before, full disclosure. Yeah, I was totally one of the Google image people scrolling through. I said I was doing research for the show.
Yeah, that's what it was.
But I mean, if you look at it, most of what we can see and what I was scrolling through is a lot of it looks like glamorous, like bikini shots. There's some costume stuff, some of the makeup you mentioned. This Queen of Hearts picture that pops up here, that's a very cool one too with that
Halloween.
Yep.
I made that costume.
You made that yourself?
Yeah, I like sat in my basement like for 2 days gluing and sewing on all this junk that I found at the craft store, and I was like, I'm going to be the Queen of Hearts. I made my Tinkerbell costume too.
Oh, nice. Well played.
That's okay, Jesse, because most of our listeners are sitting in a basement right now, so it's okay.
Perfect.
Yes, they are. But looking at all the, it's clear you've got a lot of different stuff that you've worn or that you've done short shoots for. What kind of shoots would you choose for yourself if you could just pick one type of shoot to do all the time, anytime? What would you do?
I really like being like in tropical weather, so I really like bikini shoots, and I think that it comes out in my pictures as well. I'm really like happy in them. I don't know, they're one of my favorite types, as well as lingerie too.
Okay, I have to ask this question. I have to interrupt then. You love tropical weather. Why do you live in Canada?
Yeah.
Good question.
I'm just wondering.
I don't know. I like snow a lot too, but there's like a certain point where I've just had it. Like right now, I've had enough with the snow, but in the summertime here, it's beautiful. It's just like you're in like Florida or like not Cancun, because Cancun's like humid, but I don't know. Summer's really nice here, and I like the different different weathers. Like fall is one of my favorites as well.
So like all seasons, it sounds.
Yeah, I like all of them except for snow. I've had enough of. It's been
fair.
A lot.
Hey, you know what? I live in New England. Don't listen to Greg, Mr. Phoenix, Arizona over there. He's gonna be like, snow is so terrible. He didn't see any snow in like 4 years, and he's happy with that.
It snowed last year in Arizona. It didn't stick, but it snowed.
It snowed for like 5 minutes. Don't even be that guy.
Politics.
So you mentioned you just did a shoot in Cancun, and you said you like to do a lot of the tropical locations. What kind of places? Where have you done shots? What's like the most exotic place you've gone to?
I've only done shoots in Jamaica and Cancun. I loved both of them, but I think I don't know. I really had a fun time in Jamaica with all the people that I traveled with. But, I don't know, it's a different, like, scenery. So Cancun's mainly, like, beach and, like, pool and white sand. And Jamaica's, I don't know, we had more trees to work with. And, like, it's more, like, really tropical there.
Cool. So is there a place that you haven't done a shoot at that you would consider like the dream location to be able to go and do a shoot at?
I really want to do some shoots in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I don't know, I think it'd be really cool to do a bunch of stuff there. Also, Australia would be nice to travel to. And I really want to go to Miami as well.
Nice. Well,
Miami's a little bit of a selection there.
Yeah. It's always important to have options. I
love
agree,
traveling.
So now Greg has already told me this story, but he talked to me a little bit about how the two of you came to meet. And so apparently, from what I understand, Greg was minding his own business on the interwebs like he does, and someone had contacted him from a fake Facebook account pretending to be you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess that I can only imagine with sort of your profile and what's going on that there are some crazy things that have happened. What would you say are some of the crazy things that have happened to you since you've sort of become more and more known and famous?
That's definitely one of them. I mean, having someone to pretend to be you, and then some of them actually ask some of my friends and fans and family on Facebook, not knowing that I actually know these people, that basically to pay money to watch like video camera shows of me like basically stripping down on there. But I don't know what they're expecting, because once you get the video up, it's obviously not going to be me. And like every day on Facebook, I get a new message that's really interesting to read. Or even like,
I can only imagine.
Yeah, no, it's never a dull moment.
Yeah, I can only imagine the stuff that you've had happen, or the stuff you've had to ignore, unfortunately. But yeah, like this person follows me, and they're like, they start talking to me, and I'm like, they're like, yeah, I'm just sitting here talking to my fan. It didn't even sound like something that a supermodel would say to somebody through Facebook messaging. And so I asked this person, I was like, when was the first time you were in Playboy? And they were like, why? Like, they just totally questioned why I would even ask that. And at that point, I went to the
That's
fan
when
page.
You know.
I sent the fan page a message, and I'm like, this ain't you, is it? And as luck would have it, person with 250,000 followers, very friendly on the Facebook, as Jesse is. And I was like, you know what? I think people would like to hear from this person. And thankfully for us that she said yes, Patrick O'Dowd. And we always love that.
A big win for us,
and
win
hopefully.
For me too.
I'll say, because we got some loyal listeners, Jesse, and you'll start hearing names like Jim Roberts come out of nowhere, and we'll just become huge fans of you. We have some great listeners who are amazing people, and they're very loyal and supportive, which is good. Speaking of loyalty, I want to transition kind of back into the world of modeling. We as online radio shows talking about wrestling can be competitive, but I would imagine that your world is super competitive between women. There's only so many spots. What kind of relationship do you have with the other models that you interact with?
I'd say I have a really good relationship with a lot of the models. I mean, some of them I just don't bother with, but for the most part, me and the other girls get along because, I mean, we're all doing the same kind of thing. And even though it is competitive, I'm more of like a laid-back person. So, I mean, I'm always happy for another girl if they get something that they've been working hard for, because I know how much it would mean to me if I got it as well. And I expect the same thing from my model friends that I have.
There you go. So treat him with kindness. She kills him with kindness, Patrick O'Dowd.
I know. I'm overwhelmed by the nicitude. It's very good.
But here's the thing, though. There's got to be this general understanding that basically says, you know, I like you, but if we're competing for the same thing, bitch, it is on.
It's always on in the back of my head, but, I mean, I'm not going to fight a girl.
Oh, see, we do
work in a field where beating people up is commonplace.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a saying on this show that we have about the women that we bring on this show who are actually involved in the world of professional wrestling. And if I can find it, there we go.
We're beautiful and we wrestle.
See, so you can do both.
Yeah.
You can do both, but don't.
You start breaking body parts, it gets scary.
Oh, yeah. We, for of all the beautiful women we bring on the show who wrestle, we do have a no punching them in the face rule because,
yeah.
You know, you got to protect the money maker. Yeah,
yeah,
well,
you can work around a wrist or something, but, like,
yeah.
You know, the face.
You can definitely figure that out. So going back to modeling, like, obviously, you know, you had to start somewhere, and you seem to have a good relationship with some of the people around there. Is there one person who gave you some advice, who told you something, either a way to do business, a way to interact with people, a way to just pose, whatever the hell it might be, that just stuck with you and still kind of sticks with you now?
My friend actually just passed away. And she always, like, really told me to go after what I wanted and to always keep my head up and that there's always going to be someone better than you, but you just have to basically keep your head up and keep going and push through everything that you work for because in the end it's all worth it.
Yeah, wow, sorry. I got hung up there. And it's... You know, it's great to have something like that, and you know, I'm sorry for the loss. I mean, that's it sounds like though that you found something that will keep you moving forward with your career.
Definitely.
So talking about sort of, we've pretty much hit a lot of the questions about modeling, but just talking about the world outside of modeling, like what do you do when you're not posing around taking, you know, really awesome pictures?
For the most part, I'm on my laptop. I'm basically trying to get back to all my messages and my fans that, are all in my inboxes mainly. I'm on social media 24/7 and I've been actually hitting up the gym a lot lately, getting ready for, the IBMS competition in Cancun in May. So I've been living in the gym.
So tell us a little bit more about that competition. What's going on there?
So basically, there's a bunch of girls, there's a bunch of photographers, and then there's a bunch of people that are just there to have fun, basically. And we all go, and it's for a week, and we shoot for most of the time, and then there's parties every night, and then there's also a bikini competition. And if you win, the prize is still the same as last year. You get to be playmate for Playboy Mexico. So they're one of the sponsors for it. You also get, it's different stuff every year, so I'm not 100% sure of the prizes this year because they haven't announced it yet. But I don't know, it's really exciting because you're all competing for the same thing and it's a full-out bikini competition. So you have to have the bikini, the shoes, everything all done. And then in the end, they round it off to 20 girls. They all compete to be the winner of the prize.
Well, I want to take whirlwind trips to Cancun.
I was going to say.
I get to go to parties every night. And
Here's the thing, it makes my question
about, well, what kind of TV do you watch really seem less exciting? I'm not going to lie.
Well, before we get there, I just want to point this out, Pastor Goddard. These things need judges. So, right? I mean, You know, Jesse, I mean, if you know, you would obviously have two people voting for you. No, I'm just kidding. But they do need judges. I'm not wrong about that part.
Yes. They have, I don't know, it's the Playboy Mexico editor, I believe, is one. They have a couple of the big shot models come in. And then they have a few photographers and they have Elena and Patrick who run the entire thing.
See, those people obviously have no idea what they're talking about.
Well,
Patrick, we know.
Here's the thing.
We're more qualified.
I speak very poor Spanish. Does that help me in any way, you know, have some sort of in with Playboy Mexico?
Maybe.
I don't know.
I can ask about cheese. Like, I queso is a word that everyone should know.
Yes.
And I can. I think that qualifies me.
At some point, there was this little dog in a Taco Bell commercial that taught me the phrase, Yo Quiero Taco Bell. How fast would I get murdered in Mexico?
Oh, man.
I'm using that one. It wouldn't make it home.
They might come after you.
To the family. They might. They might. But and they've already proven they know how to get over the fence back into my state. So that's not going to help me either. So
careful.
So by the way, if you're listening live and you get cut off, listen to the archive as the show continues recording. Here with Jesse Aaron, we won't just get cut off. The live listeners will, but you can listen to more. Go to ProWrestlingPowerHouse.com. The links are all over the Twitter as well. But if you are listening live, at Jesse Aaron on the Twitter and on the Instagram, and search for her, the official fan page on Facebook, which lists where you can find all the other official pages, and don't get fooled, because someone will try to message you at some point.
Yes.
So obviously, you know, you try to take care of yourself, you try to take care of your body, but, you know, you're from Canada, so there's got to be food that you love. Like just imagine you're not about to go to a modeling competition in Cancun. What would you sit down and eat? Like, what would that big giant meal be? Or maybe what would you eat after the competition?
Everything. I'm in love with food. I did try and eat healthy, but I don't know. My favorite food has to be – I really like sushi, as odd as that sounds. It's somewhat healthy, but I love sushi. I love tacos. I love all kinds of cheese dips. I like – all the good stuff, basically. But sushi is definitely my favorite food.
There you go. Patrick's yelling at me. Patrick Adell's yelling because I stole his question. So go ahead, Patrick Adell. You can have him back.
Oh, I can have him back. Now that the questions are, anything else that comes to mind?
You had your TV show stuff. Come on, the woman's got to watch the TV.
I wasn't really – well, but here's – yeah, I guess. I mean, here's the thing is, again – I lead a very sedentary life. I watch a lot of television. Everybody was losing their minds because of that of the How I Met Your Mother show. Apparently, it did not end the way that folks wanted it to. What do you watch when you have time to watch? I'm assuming you're a very busy person. Do you have something that you follow fairly regularly?
To be honest, I don't watch too much TV, but when I do. I used to watch a lot of The Girls Next Door. I don't know if you've heard of it. The TV show with Hugh Hefner's girlfriend. So I own all of the seasons of that. That's what I'm normally watching when I have some downtime. Or I just watch movies online.
Movies online. Yeah, now that's somewhere I can go. I watch a lot of Netflix. I can't really live without, like, either Netflix or I have, like, Amazon Watch Instantly. Now, I have, like, 7 different ways to watch movies.
yes.
I do. Like,
all of them legal, too. But all of them legal.
Yeah, no, I don't
hopefully
mess
we don't expose the illegal.
No, I mean, I'm same team. Like, get the movies you need to see. Like, I'm going to the theater this weekend because I need to watch Captain America Save, you know, America or something.
I want to see that.
Anything with explosions and comic book characters, I'm in and I'm down
pretty
for.
Pretty much.
So, I mean, you talked a lot about, like, some of, you know, what the sort of the regimen and the work and all that. When you have time to sort of just unwind and do whatever and you're not on the internet keeping up with fans, what's that one thing, what's that guilty pleasure that you like to do that people don't really know that people would be like, really? Wow, that's kind of cool.
I don't know. I'm still on the computer. I really like YouTube makeup tutorials.
Really?
Like, I can't stop watching them. Like, I was just watching one with my favorite girl, SMLXO, or OX, on YouTube. She's one of my favorite beauty gurus. I literally can't stop watching her videos.
So that's actually, you know, that's a thing. I want to ask this because I work at a university, and I supervise a lot of students. One of my students, they had a YouTube channel that, and I don't know if he still has it going, it was dedicated to different nail painting designs.
Ah.
Like, and she would do something, like, and she was like art on her fingernails. Yeah. People watch that stuff?
Oh, yeah. I watch the nail stuff. I'm obsessed with nails. I get my nails done all the time. But I don't know, makeup for me is like, I don't know, it's so relaxing watching someone else do makeup or get my makeup done. It's like I could fall asleep doing it.
I could fall asleep watching it, so that's good. We have that in common. So obviously you've got some goals and aspirations and we haven't got there. Like, what do you want to make of all this?
I just really want to get my name out there and – make this a career, like, for the next, I don't know, 10 years, I guess. I forget when it ends, when my look goes, and I'll have to do something else. I'm actually going to beauty school as well. In September, I'm going to go to makeup school. So that's another goal that I have. But as for modeling, I want to really pursue my glamour and, my glamour photography, because there's only a short window that I have to do that. So for right now, I'm focused on that, like getting into magazines such as Playboy, Maxim, Zoo, Nuts, all the ones online too. But yeah, basically just getting my name out there. And even I'm up for different types of modeling as well. Like, I'm into fashion too. I'm not tall enough to be a fashion model, but I'm also really into fashion and hair and all that kind of modeling. I'm basically open to doing whatever kind of modeling is available to me.
Gotcha. Well, and you know, there's plenty, thanks to the internet, there's plenty out there to that for. You get into the makeup world, you should really get your own YouTube channel then, because now you have the look and you can present stuff online, and then next thing you know, more people know you and follow you. And like I said, you're already planning for when, you know, as you put it, your looks go, which for anybody Googling you right now would find that hard to believe would ever happen. But
highly questionable.
Highly questionable. Heidi Klum would like you to think otherwise, Jesse. Oh.
I have to be like Heidi Klum, my German friend.
There you go. So you talked about, of course, your name out there. Where can people find you?
Actually, I do have a YouTube channel, but it's not for makeup yet. It will be. And that's, I believe it's just Jesse Aaron. You type me in, I come up. Yeah, it's just Jesse Aaron. I just checked. And then on Instagram, it's Jesse Aaron, Jessyerinn. And on Twitter, same thing, Jessyerinn. I don't think I have anything else. I have Tumblr as well, which is Jessyerinn1.
Excellent. Very good. So people can find you. And, of course, on Facebook, they need to find the official page, because there are others, as we have discovered. And it is easy to find those. The official page, by the way, is Jesse Aaron XO on Facebook. So people, don't be fooled, people. Don't be fooled. So that's all I can say there. So remind us when you're doing the competition in the Humid World of Cancun.
Sorry?
Remind us when you're doing this competition in Mexico.
I'm doing it. It's from May 1st to the 6th.
Gosh, and tough life.
I believe that the competition is going to be streamed online. So I'll be posting that on my fan page as well, where you can find that. And I believe that the competition will be held on the 6th. That will be the one that's online.
Excellent. Do me a huge favor, Jesse, when you find out where, let me know so I can pass it along to the listeners and the followers of the show, because I know they're going to want to see it. And of course, they would love to do that. And for you, we are a show that focuses on the crazy world of professional wrestling. But we do have a lot of fun outside of that world. And we have this group of women that we call the DeMarquettes, and they're wrestlers, and they're only wrestlers. But we have some women that come on the show outside of the world of professional wrestling, and we call them kind of our guilty pleasures. Like, yeah, they're not in wrestling, but we love them. And we would love if you could join the ranks of the guilty pleasures of the Greg DeMarco Show, if you would be so kind as to do so.
Yeah, for sure. I'm definitely down.
There you go. All that means is occasionally you have to come back and talk to us and let everybody know what you're up to.
I'd love to.
Excellent. Well, keep up the amazing work. I guarantee you, you're keeping lots of listeners busy right now on the Google and on the Facebook and on the Twitter, looking for that. Hopefully they'll follow you, and hopefully they realize on this show that, you know, behind all the beautiful pictures is a normal person, a real person with goals and aspirations and hopes and fears, just like everybody else. So best of luck to you, and we look forward to bringing you back here in the next couple of months to give everybody an update of what you're up to.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a blast on your radio station.
Awesome. Hopefully it was as much fun as I promised you it would be. Because I'm not going to lie. I like to toot my own horn sometimes. I found an interview that you did with somebody else earlier today, and I was like, I hope she doesn't think our show is going to be like that. That's all I needed to reassure
no,
you.
That was really like, fun.
We're going to have some fun, and but also make sure people get to know you and follow you as well. So keep up.
Oh, we're cutting out.
There we go. Well, I hung up on her anyway. Patched her down. So,
did you?
I let her. She didn't say anything, so I let her go. But it was because she was cutting out. Which happened?
Because she said, "Oh, I hear we cut out," and then I was
it's like, "Oh, we're cutting out." And I was like, "Yeah, we are."
Because then I thought, "Wait a minute, maybe Greg cut out."
No, obviously I'm still
awkward.
Here.
Awkward.
So.
Hey, make sure you do right by this woman. And apologize to her as a proper host should.
I always do, except for that one time I did.
For your sake and for your show's sake and for your co-host's sake.
That's right.
You know, help us out.
Co-host's sake. Most importantly, for your co-host's sake.
For your co-host's sake.
That's right. For the co-host's sake. So, there you go. Patrick O'Dowd, a return to tonight in books.
It is another night in the books and the biggest week of the year.
That's right. And those of you who thought I was going to come on here and once again badmouth the VOC.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Because we're actually still very friendly. And you know, it was all a circumstance thing with scheduling. That's what happens sometimes. So it is all good. So Patrick O'Dowd, it's WrestleMania week. We get to have a lot of fun. It's the biggest week of the year in our quote-unquote business, and we hope that everybody is able to enjoy it because it's a lot of fun, and it only comes around once a year.
That's right. I'm looking forward to it. I'm very excited.
Awesome. Well, we will forego the quick hits until next week, if that's okay with you, Patrick O'Dowd.
It is okay with me, bro.
Awesome. There you go. And big thank you to Steve Cook for coming on, Rob Schamberger, Sue Young, and, of course, Jesse Aaron. Patrick O'Dowd and I will be next week with thoughts on WrestleMania, with thoughts on and lots of fun. Patrick O'Dowd, week we get to do it again.
Get down.
Quack, quack.